Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins unto God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you. Lord Jesus Christ, in your deep compassion, you rescue us from whatever may hurt us. Teach us to love you above all things and to love our neighbors as ourselves. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the fourth book of Moses called Leviticus, the 18th and 19th chapters. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'I am the Lord your God.' You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed is he who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him.
The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies.
The Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health.
As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious. For I have sinned against you.
My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish?
And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad.
All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me.
They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies.
Even my close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me.
But you, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up, that I may repay them.
By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me.
But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life.
grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is from the Gospel reading, the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan. To the lawyer who wished to justify himself, Jesus said, "Which of these three, the Levite, the priest, or the Samaritan, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is our text. A lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test. You know right there from those words that this is not a genuine request that this man has. When he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" it is not a prayer for help. He is putting a test before Jesus in order to trip him up. He's skeptical as he asks this question. "What are you going to say, Jesus? What's your answer to that question?" And Jesus throws it right back at him. "What is written in the law?" Because Jesus does not go beyond what the scriptures say. Jesus is the fulfillment of the scriptures, but he does not negate what is already written. And so the man turns to the Old Testament, and he confesses what we must do to inherit eternal life. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You're right. Do this, and you will live." He understands the law. He gets it. If you want someone who knows the Bible backwards and forwards and who can cite chapter and verse, this lawyer is that man. The question isn't whether he understands, but whether he can do it. Can he actually love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength? And can he love his neighbor as himself? And I don't know if this man was intending it this way, but it seems to me that he decides to zero in on the easier one in order to make sure that he's actually got it down. This man says, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you really begin to think about it, that's an awfully tall task. So maybe I can just settle on loving my neighbor. But who is my neighbor? And right there we see a little bit of an issue, right? This man, as he's wanting to figure out how to fulfill and keep the law, to do what he must do to inherit eternal life, he begins drawing boundaries, and he's already thinking, "Well, let me narrow it down. Some will be my neighbor, and then there are others who are not my neighbor. I don't have to love everyone. I just have to love my neighbor." Jesus, again, doesn't answer straightforwardly, but he tells instead the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, the man who's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho through an area that's notorious for having some highway brigands, and he falls among robbers, and they strip him, and they beat him, and they leave him there as if for dead. On that same road comes down a priest who chances by, and he sees the man lying there, and he goes to the other side of the road and keeps going. Then a Levite comes and does the same thing. You know, the priest and the Levite, these two religious men, the ones who would be most concerned with God's law, they see the guy in the ditch, and they just walk right on past. But the least expected one coming, a Samaritan, and you ought to know that Samaritans and Jews did not get along. They were not friends or best buddies. It's like someone in Israel and someone in Palestine. And the Samaritan comes by, and when he sees the man, his heart just opens up. He sees the man in the ditch and he goes over to him to tend to him. It says he had compassion on him. This is the word a couple of Sundays ago that seminarian Picari mentioned in his Bible class that is his favorite word in the Greek. It's this word of this gut-wrenching care and concern. A word that's used in the scriptures only to describe our God. But here it describes the Samaritan. He's not looking for points. He's not trying to impress someone. He sees the need and his heart moves him to go down into that ditch with the man. And not only does he bind him up, put him on his own animal and carry him out, he brings him to an inn and he tells the innkeeper, "Whatever you need, it's on me. I'll pay for this man to get well." Four characters in this story: the priest, the man who gets injured, the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. And as I read this parable, one of the questions I ask myself is, which of these characters do I most identify with? Of course, I would like to identify with the Good Samaritan. Wouldn't we all? That's me right there. Every time I can remember, I helped a person in need, except maybe I don't remember all the times I missed the person in need. We want to identify with the Good Samaritan, and that's a good thing. But you know, as I thought about my own week, my own life, I thought about all the times that I've been like that priest or that Levite. All the times that I've been intent on taking the care of the thing that I've got in mind. I've got this thing that I need to do, and I blaze right on past other people in their needs. I know it happens sometimes even on Sunday mornings. Someone will say hi to me and I'm in the zone and I don't even acknowledge them. It happened in my own house this week. I came down in the morning. We've got a dog that we're dog sitting. I said hi to the dog and asked if the dog had been out but didn't say hi to my own daughter. I mean, seriously. And I think this is one question we're faced with. Do we even notice the people around us? Do we even notice the needs that are there? Or are we so concerned about ourselves and the things that we're doing and the things that we have in mind that we blow right past? And I don't want to be too harsh on the priest and the Levite here. I mean, if you ask the priest or the Levite why they didn't stop, I suspect that they probably had decent-ish reasons. Well, maybe those robbers were around and I didn't want to get caught by them too. Or, you know, I've got my duties at the temple and I need to stay clean. I can't touch a body that might be dead. And what can you do for someone who's dead anyway? I'm just going to keep on going. How often do we offer excuses for ourselves and our own behavior? For our own failure, not only to care for the person in need, but even to notice another human being right beside us? That word neighbor is an interesting one. I believe it comes from old English. It means the one, the nigh bore, the neighbor, the one who is close to you, the farmer who is near you. Sometimes I think we are aware, perhaps, of neighbors in certain places, but we miss the people who are right here, the ones who are closest to us, and the needs that they have. Jesus is teaching this man that he has a duty to love his neighbor, and his duty to love his neighbor is to love the one who is in need of mercy, and that's what it means to be a neighbor to another. It means to show mercy to them, to have regard for that person in their humanity and in their needs. And as much as I want to be the Good Samaritan, and let us pray to be the Good Samaritan as well, I see that I have not been. Too often I have been the priest. I have been the Levite, concerned with my own things, making excuses for why I didn't help in this situation or that situation. Or like I said earlier, not even noticing the person right beside me. Lord, have mercy upon us. How many times after time after time, have I done this? Sure, I can hold out for you the one or two times that I explicitly remember helping that person in need. And in telling you about it, I'll be looking for your praise of me. But I have failed to be the Good Samaritan, the neighbor that my neighbors need. I have failed to show mercy to the one who is down and out. So I know who I identify with, perhaps whom you identify with as well. Maybe the bigger question, though, is not so much where am I in this story, but rather where is Jesus in this story? What has Jesus done to help and serve and love his neighbor perfectly? Our Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself with the Samaritan. He is the one that, seeing the need of those who've been beaten up and left for half dead, those who've been chewed up and spit out by the world, he saw their need, and he came down in the ditch to help. What do I mean? I mean, here's the one who is God of God and light of light, very God of very God, and he chooses to put on our human flesh and to come like one of us, so that he can go to the places where we are and help us in our need. Because honestly, that's where I find myself. As much as I may be the priest or the Levite, when I hear God's law and see my failure to keep it, I realize that I'm like that man who's been beat up and spit out and left. He can't help himself. He needs the mercy of another. And Jesus is the one who has come and come still to show that mercy to us. He is the one who identifies himself with our need. And this is what I find so amazing. Here is God. You know, and if you think about God, I mean, maybe on a human scale, and the number of things that he has to pay attention to and to care about in this world, so many. And yet our God saw us in our need. And he didn't say, you know what, I've got bigger fish to fry, I've got more important things to do, I've got to do this or do that. He looked at us and he said, I'm going to help that one. They need me. And Jesus went down into the ditch and he lifts up the one who is in need. And he puts them on his own animal, on his own beast of burden, carrying the weight. And he brings them to the place where they can receive his help. Sometimes when I think of this parable, it seems to me that the inn is perhaps not so much our heavenly home, but our inn is perhaps the church. That this is where Jesus has brought us to begin healing and begin the restoration that we need, to show us the mercy that is necessary for us to be restored. And this is also the place where we at times come to meet our neighbor and to help them in their various needs as well. And Jesus makes the promise. He says to the innkeeper, take care of him. Take care of those who are in need. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. The Good Samaritan has come, and he has done the work of showing mercy that indeed left him stripped and beaten, and not only half dead, but fully dead. It's like he went into the ditch and laid himself down there so the other man, so that we could get up and be brought for help. Jesus paid with his own life for our lives and for our healing and for our neighbors. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid for that with his life, also rose from the dead, and he lives and reigns even now, and he has promised that he is coming again. And whatever we do in aid of our neighbor in need, however we show mercy, he will repay. He will restore. Which is to say, we show mercy to our neighbors not because we earn his favor, but rather because we know we've already got his favor. He has shown his love to us, and we can give ourselves freely to our neighbors in love Because he's going to take care of us as he already has, and he has, as he has promised to do when he returns in glory. Brothers and sisters in Christ, one thing I think we can do as we think of this text is we can have our eyes open to see the needs of those around us. Again, not because we are going to earn our eternal salvation by caring for those around us, but simply because we've been cared for by Christ, and what can we do but bring his mercy to others as well? And as I think about that, I think not only about the neighbors nearest to us, perhaps in our own homes, in our church family, in other places, but even in our own communities. How many around us may at times be struggling? How many around us may have physical and material needs? Perhaps struggling to make ends meet with food or with utilities or housing or those sorts of things. And perhaps we've been accustomed to just walking right on by, ignoring those needs, making excuses that perhaps someone else will take care of them, or they deserve what they're going through, or whatever it is. And our Lord Jesus Christ today invites us as those who have been shown mercy, invites us as those who've been beaten up and left half dead, and he's put on the animal and he's brought in and he feeds and cares for, invites us to show love for them as well. Will we love them as well as Christ has loved us? I'm sure we won't. Will we notice every neighbor in their need? I guarantee I'll miss them again and again. But I know his love for me. And I know what Jesus has done to grant me his care and his healing. I know how he has been and continues to be that good Samaritan for me. And so may his love for us have its way with us. And may he, through us, bring that love to others. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to see their need, and grant care to those who are down and mercy to those who've been left for dead. May our Lord Jesus Christ do this good work for us, that his name might be glorified and his word may be spread, and that many more may come into the inn with us and receive the healing that he has. For our Lord has promised that he is coming again, even as he comes now with his mercy for you and me. He is coming again, and he will bring that final and full healing and restoration. And he will bring us at last to our heavenly home. May Jesus come quickly. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, We give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Lord, in your mercy, send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy,
hear your prayer.
Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth, and bring an end to violence and terror. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places and among all people, especially to those who are most vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Rachel and Rachel, and give them and their families great joy at the time of birth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Grant your help and peace to all who have suffered in the recent flooding. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Keep in safety all who travel, especially our sister Linda. Make her way safe and her homecoming joyful. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Have compassion upon our brother Dave. Strengthen his body and guide him and Janet through his upcoming appointments. Look with mercy upon Blair, Bobby and Carol, Katie, Carol, Heather and Mike, Joe, Kate, Pam, Rick and Teresa, Tony and Libby, Verity, and Jeremy Paradise's Uncle Tommy. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks and praise to you, dear Father, for taking our sister Joan from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven, and for granting that she would die peacefully while Eric was at her side. We pray now that you would grant your comfort to those who mourn, that they may know in your Son, Jesus Christ, the hope that we have. Lord, in your mercy, accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Lord, in your mercy, grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy, as we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Your hearts
in heaven,
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, and ever Lord full of thy glory.
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh.
Our psalm today is Psalm 72, starting at the first verse, a prophecy of Christ. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the royal son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor to justice. Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor people. Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor. For he delivers the needy when he calls, and poor to him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy from opposition and violence. He redeems their life, and the precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May the gold of Sheba be given to him. May the prayer be made for him continually, and the blessings invoked for him all day. May there be abundance in grain in the land. On the tops of the mountains may it wave. May its fruit be like Lebanon, and may the people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May the people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord and the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you, and in deep love for each other, that through us other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Up his countenance upon you and give you peace.